Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
4, 3, 2, 1, and we are live with Professor Hamamoto continuing our viral series about the macabre experiments in the Zorro Ranch, the genetic editing of babies. And I think in the most recent correspondence you sent to me, Professor, and a huge thank you for coming on, it was, is that the CRISPR method that you were talking about?
Yes, generically it's referred to germline editing. And I associated the Chinese scientist, of course, educated in the U.S., which we'll be talking about later, his He Jingqi and his hot Chinese wife. I mention hot Chinese wife because they seem to be all the rage amongst the mockers, the starkers, the movers and the shakers of America, from Leisure Suit Larry Ellison to Mark Zuckerberg. They each of them have a Chinese woman who they want to breed with. They want to fuse the Hazarian Hudeo with the Han germline. And that's partly why Zorro Ranch is there, the facility.
Is that because they've identified something in the genes of these Chinese women that they're trying to incorporate into their offspring?
Precisely. Both physical, intellectual, and dare I say, spiritual. And I'll touch upon each of these three areas slightly. So far as the intellectual is concerned, we're talking about PhD level knowledge, information, pioneering research in physics to biology, bioengineering, such as Hu Jiankui. And then you're talking about athleticism, which I will touch upon today, so far as the recent Winter Olympics, especially in figure skating. We had a germline edited hybrid, a racial hybrid, who won the gold medal in ice skating. Her name is Alisa Liu. And Mr. Atwood, today I'm going to be presenting to you and your audience a novel hypothesis that has not been discussed in, of course, the mainstream media, but not in Indian media as well. In fact, most of Indian media ignores the entire racial and ethnic because it's been stigmatized, the whole racial, ethnic, and religious, spiritual aspects of this controversy over so-called Zorro Ranch in the Epstein storyline, the Zorro Ranch, where power is masked like Zorro himself, which was a mythical concoction of a writer, an American writer, to disguise the hidden undercurrents of this desert empire built upon gold and silver and the extraction of the wealth of the earth through human labor. First Indian slave labor, then mestizo slave labor, and now us. We are the contemporary slaves. And Mr. Atwood, as I was getting my head together to come on your show, thank you for the invitation, I realized there's nobody in Britain other than yourself that can really speak to living conditions in the great American Southwest. Is that not true? You've seen it at its best and its worst.
Well,
you came to America and then you found out, gee, I should have been studying Spanish.
Well, bear in mind, I come from a chemical manufacturing town in the industrial northwest of the UK. So when I was a teenager arriving in Arizona and the flights were coming into land, I'd look out the window and see the swimming pools in the backyards and these huge road systems and cars. Everything seemed so much bigger and brighter, and the sun was always out. So I was bedazzled. I was bedazzled by this southwestern lifestyle.
Of course.
Where the sun was out, there was hardly any rain, and apart from these, you know, beautiful monsoonal storms with the lightning displays, etc. Yeah, I thought it was great.
And you were living the dream.
And America was good to me, but I just went a bit too far.
Speaking of America, and I've talked to people from other countries up in Scandinavia, Japan, Britain, of course, and I just realized it's also your generation who are in charge of the world. And you grew up watching Aaron Spelling Productions. You are the generation of Beverly Hills 90210. 10 years, a solid decade of decadence, thinking that the world was none other than Beverly Hills, West Beverly Hills High School. And then you had Melrose Place. By the way, I'm going to be doing a future project, a full-blown expose of one Aaron Spelling, head of Aaron Spelling Television, and the creator of this, Darren Star, right? And it's also, there's a religious ethnic component. They're both Jewish producers, Darren Star, Aaron Spelling, because your guest the other day was talking about, and I'm speaking of Jimmy Dore, was talking about ownership, the monopoly of the media machinery. It's an empirical fact. And I want to dwell on that, even though it's politically unpopular, and even though throughout my entire career, one of my specialties is popular culture and mass media, one of my struggles was to prevent being squelched from the mockers, from the starkers, from the enforcers who ran the academic end of the media complex, so that I do not go into certain areas that would be destructive to their power monopoly. And I broke the monopoly by looking specifically at the role of ethnic and racial and religious minorities in American popular culture, particularly the yellow people, which, as you know, there were no yellow people in Beverly Hills 90210. No.
Just as a little side thing, because before I forget it, with your opening statement, then it brought to mind this couple.
Yes,
and you know, he looks like, you know, Woody Allen, typical PDF creepy predator. There, he looks like that. But because of what you've said, I'm thinking, was he also motivated by the DNA goal that you cited? Was that
absolutely,
perhaps that's got more to do with it than the PDF side of it, has it?
You nailed it, Mr. Atwood. Absolutely. Now, Soon Yi, she's much more of a, I'd say, self-identified individual as she's given credit for. She's not just a China doll. All right. I'd love to be able to sit down and talk to her honestly and openly. And she refused to bear any children of the Ashkenazi Woodrow Konigsberg. He anglicized his name, just like Larry Ellison is Ashkenazi, on and on. Right. Leisure Suit Larry Ellison is in his 80s, I believe. He's got a 34-year-old hot Chinese wife. And they even live on an island together. They like that island motif. So you got Woody Allen. There's any number of examples They're one of the more prominent ones. And this reinforces my thesis of the Ashkenazi fusion, conscious genetic fusion between the Han lines, so that they can strengthen the weakening Ashkenazi interbred line or inbred line with the Han genetics for intellectual enhancement. Physical enhancement is seen in the Olympics. In fact, most of the winners in the strength and speed sports were of Han backgrounds. It was not just Elisa Liu. Let me give you an example. The other person's name is Eileen Gu.
I've put Larry on the screen, and wow.
There he is.
First I've seen of this
with his hot wife. And part of the hot, I use the term hot wife, not just for sensational purposes, but hot wife is a genre amongst wife swappers, swingers, in other words, right? We learned about P. Diddy, but the whole part of that, a subset of that, is like for geezers like him to bring their wives into certain social situations. Do you get my drift?
Yeah.
So he's going to be bringing her to the S parties, the hot wife parties, and they're going to exchange. Yeah.
Has she reproduced with him yet, or has she refused?
I think she's holding out.
Okay.
Yeah, I think maybe she's holding out for Mark Zuckerberg whenever he's free. Now, Mark Zuckerberg did breed with a Han woman, Priscilla Chen, Dr. Priscilla Chen. They have two hybrid children. Now, racial hybridity and germline hybridity is key to my novel insights here, right? Zuckerberg is a product of that. He's probably himself, and this is no knock on homosexuals, he's probably himself into male-male relationships, but he is trying to forge and extend a dynasty. So he had to breed with Priscilla Chen. I'm sure they don't even share the same bedroom in their armed redoubt. I also want to remind the audience that Jeffrey Epstein's preferred victims were yellow women.
Yeah, I watched an interview with Rena Oh recently.
That's right.
She was talking about that on one channel.
She's come to the fore, and I brought this up here, that how come no one's paying attention to Rena Oh? Because she's a yellow woman. But not only that, he was recruiting these people from Southeast Asia, Thailand, and the Pacific, which most people know there is a traffic between so-called advanced capitalist countries and Southeast Asia. Like Thailand is cracking down on it, Philippines and other places. And you had the picture of there's Zuck, as he likes to be called. He's now building himself up as a mixed martial artist. They don't want to call it, karate or judo. They have to call it mixed martial arts so that the Asian part is moved out of the way. But she was matched with him at Harvard. Priscilla Chen. Okay, you get the point. So, getting back to Epstein, he was entranced and raptured by children. And this goes back, and it's consistent with the large-scale transfer of Asian babies from places like Japan after World War II, and wives, women, they were called war brides, right, to the United States. And then the Korean War, lots of Korean babies. Now, not a lot of them are in their 50s now. They're starting to ask certain questions about how they came here. And it turns out a lot of them weren't even orphans. Sun Yi is part of the latter part of that cohort. And I know she's smart enough, or at least I suspect she's smart enough to know that she's part of this international traffic. Now, you might think it's cold of me and cruel to refer to this exchange as traffic, because probably the majority of these children who were brought from Japan, South Korea, and then Vietnam, and then more recently China. They, most of them probably were loved and well taken care of. But I hazard to guess a lot of them were brought in for exploitative purposes. And Woody Konigsberg is a prime example of that. On the other hand, it's kind of curious that Sun Yi is playing along with it. She has sided with Woody Konigsberg against Mia Farrow, her true mother, her adoptive mother, along with her previous husband, Andre Previn. Her name is Sun Yi Previn, her legal name. All right. Now, what I wanted, and I mentioned this concept before, what I wanted to remind the audience is that we are in a phase now of being cooled out. We're the marks, we're the suckers, we're the chumps. And both the mainstream media and the independent media has been assigned the task of calming us down to bring some normalcy back to the usual state of depravity that they pretend to have gotten away with for the last few decades, in particular, the epic of quote-unquote Epstein. So we are being cooled out again, and I found a clip that is a living example of this process of cooling out the mark, because we must avoid this at all costs. Cooled out. We're continually being placated, assuaged, convinced that, oh, it's over now. Right. Any day now, there's going to be an Annie Jacobson type author to come around and put a bow on everything and said, oh, well, it's over now. That was then. This is now. All right. So we have this woman, and she's a yellow woman, because we're talking about racial politics. We're talking about ethnicity and how it's deployed symbolically to complete the mind control operation. Her name is Katie Fang. I thought she was Vietnamese, but apparently she's Korean. And I said, I bet she's married to a Jew. And she is, because that's the pattern. Woody Allen, Sun Yi, all these MSNBC mainstream yellow people you see on the networks, from Juju Chang to whoever, they're always married to a high-level Jewish executive handler. It's a pattern. I'm not making it up. I'm not anti-Semitic. I study the media. I'm an expert. Look me up. Look at all the citations. Professor Hamamoto is there. I wrote a book on, it's called Monitored Peril. I wrote a book on sitcoms. I know humor. I've been following Woody Allen since the early 60s when he started showing up on network television doing monologues. It's just kind of a schleppy, nibbish type of comedian. This is before he decided he was going to be, or someone decided for him, that he was going to be a artiste, a cinephile, a director, like François Truffaut, or some of these French New Wave expressionist, New York City, sophisticated, Parisian, London intellectual movies. That Woody Allen, the schlub, the nibbish. This is all Yiddish terms, right? So let's take a quick look at this one. Her name's Katie Fang. She's married to a Jewish executive. His name's Feldman. And look at, okay, look who she's talking to. Okay, you got a yellow and you got a brown. Now, her name is Representative Andrea Romero. You got to get the rolled R's for authenticity. Because you notice Katie Pham, who grew up in Miami, supposedly, she manages to get the R in there when she pronounces Spanish last names. So she's talking to Andrea. She's cooling out the sucker, right? Don't get fooled by it, because guess what? She started in this, and she's a New Mexico state representative. She is a New Mexico state representative who founded the Epstein Truth Commission. Yeah, exactly. You can identify that as a joke right off, but most people will not. They'll say, oh, it's a Latina from New Mexico who is like standing up for us, for the people of New Mexico, El Pueblo, right? That's what you're thinking, because you've been conditioned that to that by watching Beverly Hills 90210. But you check into her bloodline, and I'm sure she's part Jewish. I told you last time there is a recolonization of the American Southwest, specifically New Mexico, with people who are conversos, or disparagingly they're referred to as marranos. These were crypto Jews who came to that area with the conquistadors 500 years ago. And now they're laying claim to it here in 2026. Why? Because Eretz Israel might go up in a nuclear cloud. They need a new bio-zio. That's New Mexico. They realize they might destroy their own perceived Rothschild homeland. So they need to relocate or make some plan, contingency plans. They tried to settle in China, Shanghai. They got kicked out by the Japanese in the run-up to World War II. And they wanted to go to Japan. The Japanese said, no, you're not going to come here. Go to Israel. Go to Argentina. Go somewhere else. Go to the United States. You're not going to come here. And I'm telling you, this is because they've always had a boner against China and Japan as a result for being excluded purposely, so that they would not create their own colony within the nation state. And unfortunately, the people in Gaza had to bear that burden, and we're seeing the outcome of it right now. As we speak, the bombs are dropping. So let's take a look at Katie Fong and this limited hangout. She's cooling out the sucker. Her name's Andrea Romero. I forgot to mention she's a graduate of Stanford University.
State Representative Andrea Romero, the state of New Mexico.
Hold on a second. So there's three clips down there right now.
That's the one you just played is correct.
Okay, let's go.
Interesting Truth Commission. It's working in tandem with the New Mexico Attorney General, Raul Torres, who has reopened the criminal investigation into Jeffrey Epstein and his Zorro Ranch. Now, allegations have arisen that bodies have been buried on Zorro Ranch, and there is no statute of limitations when it comes to murder. But I am joined today by Representative Romero. We get into the background of how this bipartisan push to create this commission came to be. The fact that this life of Jeffrey Epstein, what he was doing there, was not a secret in that community in Santa Fe. In fact, they called it the Playboy Ranch of Santa Fe. There are so many unanswered questions, including why. Why would the feds tell local authorities to stop investigating Epstein and Zorro Ranch back in 2019? This is the episode you want to listen to, because it also shows that if the feds, if the Trump administration isn't going to do something about it to protect our children and to bring justice to the Epstein survivors and victims, then the state of New Mexico will. Joining me now is New Mexico State Representative Andrea Romero, who was the driving force behind this amazing bipartisan subcommittee that is now called the Epstein Truth Commission. Representative Romero, thank you so much for joining me today. It is a privilege to spend time with you.
Likewise. Thank you so much for your coverage on this issue and for, you know, just continuing to press forth, providing us new knowledge about what's gone on as well. I really appreciate you.
Well, Rep, let's get into the details of this. I actually walked through with my viewers, my intrepid viewers that I feel like I always say we went back to law school together. But I have the resolution. I walked them through the resolution.
Okay, I can't handle anymore. They're obviously pulling our dicks. You got a yellow. See, this is racial, symbolic racial. I studied this in this is my area of expertise. One of them, you got a yellow woman. By the way, she went to Yale as undergraduate. She's slick. She has a law degree, as she alluded to. So does the other one. The other one went to Stanford and the other coast, right? And they all come from the same spigot, right? That's why I left ethnic studies and racial studies, because I said, man, I'm providing an intellectual and academic front for these shits. They don't represent anybody. They certainly don't represent free humanity. They are just ethnic cutouts. And we're beyond that, ladies and gentlemen. Let's not be cooled out by the mark, or let's not be marks that are being cooled out by the scam artists. This is a con, right? And she's, oh, yeah, We're going to cover all the truth about Zorro Ranch. Okay, let me also continue or finish this particular thread of discovery, which I'm sharing with your audience for the first time, is that Stanford is a pipeline. It's just like Yale is a pipeline for these new generation globalists. And she talks later in that interview that you showed an expert excerpt of how they're a young generation. They're untainted by all the loyalties and dependencies that the older generation, right, the pre-Beverly Hills 90210 generation, they're on the hook to Israel. We know that. These are a bunch of geezers who have all these connections. So we represent the new generation that's going to be all good from here on out. Once we just get this matter of Epstein and Zorro Ranch cleared away, we'll be, and if you listen to her closely, and I'm studying her career because she is a potential U.S., she's a state representative now. She's definitely on her way to national leadership, maybe even vice president, or because she's a lot smarter than Kamala Harris. That's for anything. And she's Latina. Right? She's got the credentials and she's got the background, right? Totally. Kamala Harris does not. Yeah. To finish up the thread on Stanford, we had a secretary or attorney general. His name was Xavier Becerra. All right. I can't say it as good as Katie Pham. Becerra. He comes from Stanford. He went to high school locally here. I know it's a working class high school. McClatchy High School in here in Sacramento. And then I looked at his background. I always look at the education track. He went to Stanford, undergraduate, Stanford Law, like Peter Thiel. So you already see a pattern emerging. This is Becerra, because Becerra might become the first Latino president of the United States. I'm trying to get ahead of these people here and stop moving from the back foot here defensively. We're always repeating something that we heard on the Jimmy Dore show or something, right? We're all behind the curve, which is part of the problem. And I'm warning you right here, he's a piece of work, because after he went to Stanford and he went to finishing school at the University of Salamanca. And I said, wow, that sounds familiar. That sounds like a medieval institution. These are the very roots of the modern university, University of Salamanca. From McClatchy High School, working class high school in Sacramento, to Stanford, Palo Alto, in the heart of the Silicon Valley, to the University of Salamanca. So I looked it up, and guess what? That's where Ignacio Loyola went to school. That's Salamanca, is the Jesuit intellectual center. This is where they get their, this is their capital. New Mexico had the first archdiocese when it was still a territory that were run by the Jesuits for 150 years. New Mexico. And this brings up an area of inquiry that no one's talked about. We've touched upon on your show the importance, perhaps central importance, of the Church of Latter-day Saints up there in Idaho, Utah, and with TPUSA, that whole connection there. But we're neglecting the Vatican and the Roman Catholic Church, especially in New Mexico, back to colonial times, 500 years, and how it connects with this woman here. What's her name? Andrea Romero and Xavier Becerra. There he is, Il Papa. And by the way, Ignacio Loyola of University of Salamanca, he was a converso himself. Loyola was a crypto Jew. His wealthy parents bought him into the clergy. All right, this is not a alarmist statement. This is just identifying these strategies that are being played out even in 2026. Thank you, Livingston. Gina, I assume you're calling me one of the better guests, but thank you very much. So there you go. Katie Fong, Andrea Romero. Oh, there's other cryptos as well. There's AOC. AOC is a crypto. She's Hodia. So is Paulina Luna. All right. You're going to see a lot of Latinos and Latinos who are presenting themselves as brown people. They're down with the brown. And why is that important? Well, New Mexico is a predominantly Latino state. It's the majority of residents in places like New Mexico are Latino. Whites are the minority. The replacement strategy has worked, right? And one of the institutions, probably the primary institution that's promoting that is the Vatican.
Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
All right. Who's that? The Archbishop of New Mexico?
Leo.
Oh, okay. He's a new one. Well, the Archdiocese of New Mexico is one of the most important in the United States. We tend to look at like New York or maybe Los Angeles, but New Mexico is very, very important. And you got to assume that Epstein milieu was working Roman Catholic Archdiocese heavily in order to operate that way. And you know that Representative Andrea Romero is in bed with these people as well. All right, this is not an anti-Catholic set. I know you were raised as a Roman Catholic. This is not intended to be an anti-Roman Catholic rant. I'm just trying to flesh out, so to speak, literally flesh out the contours of power that are operating underneath all the flack that we're being presented by the so-called indie people, indie media, what your friend David Icke called the mainstream alternative media, MAM, that's the acronym, as well as, you know, we expect MSM and CNN and BBC and Channel 4, we expect that, but we think that we're getting the real scoop from these indie people. False. We got to be on guard for these characters as well, because they have flooded the zone. They are in the process of cooling out the mark. And we, ladies and gentlemen, are tired of being marks. Are we not? We don't want to be the chump anymore. We don't want to be the sucker. We don't want to be perpetually on the receiving end of all these really ugly surprises.
But Professor, it's like today, you know, they're bombing Iran. 80% of the American public are against it. They're spending billions, maybe trillions of our taxpayer money just blowing up the poorest countries of the world for their own greedy purposes, when they could spend that money on hospitals and schools and road systems, etc., and building our own economies. Doesn't it make us despondent just to see this? We wake up, you know, all these little kids are dead, schoolgirls are dead at our expense, liberated by Raytheon. What hope can we have when they just override the public's will and spend our money on these evil purposes?
Despondency is their trade. That is their psychological operation. They want us to put us into a permanent state of despondency and helplessness, learned helplessness. We have to reach deeper into ourselves, our own religious traditions, in order to summon the strength the personal strength to combat these people. It can be done. It will be done. It's not going to happen through the Catholic Church, though. It's not going to happen through the Mormon Church. It's not going to happen through any sort of established ecclesiastical authority. It's going to come from us and our direct relationship with the Creator, with God. And I firmly believe that, and I firmly believe that it will eventually triumph. We have to keep up the struggle and say, no, I mean, the American people, the world public knows that it's untenable to wage war on any level, really. 80% of the population of America says no. We will have to find a way to stop the machinery. I'm just saying it's not going to be coming from Andrea Romero, Javier Becerra, and Kamala Harris, Katie Funk. None of these people. It's going to come from us.
But Professor,
so you raise a good point. We have to get out of our passive mode and stop viewing all this, what's going on in front of us, as entertainment.
But Professor,
it's no longer an Aaron Spelling production or Darren Star television primetime soap opera. This is real life. This is about the future of humanity.
But Professor, isn't the machinery getting a tighter grip on us with AI, Palantir, Peter Thiel, etc., and how much control they've got over people like Vance and Trump?
Tighter and looser at the same time, right? Not until we are dead and buried, and even then we will come back to haunt these creatures. Is the game over, right? So long as there's breath in your body and sentient brain waves going through your mind, there's a hope. You have to believe that. I don't care about these personalities. They come and go. J.D. Vance, Erica Kirk, Charlie Kirk, TPUSA, any of these pop-up pundits. It depends on us. This is not entertainment. This is not a romantic comedy. It's not a situation comedy. It's not a movie. It's not a feel-good Super Bowl contest. It's not the Winter Olympics.
Well, Erica Kirk wants everybody to vote for J.D. Vance, who's owned by Peter Thiel. So it's like Turning Point's just been turned into one big voter funnel for the Thiel Palantir interests.
Yes. But your show was one of the first to feature me in saying, no, this is a complete show.
Clown show.
We reject it from the get-go. We've already got a head start on these people. It may take the rest of the public to kind of get out of their shell of fear because, oh, yeah, we're getting the mullahs. You know, we're getting rid of those people. By the way, these nuclear facilities, they've been bombed almost continuously for many, many years. 2024, 2023. Right, thanks to the people who really run Washington, D.C. I think it was a really bad omen when Orange Man, Donald Trump, and I'm off the Trump train, if you haven't guessed already, I'm officially off the Trump train. It was a bad omen when Donald Trump moved the capital of Israel to Jerusalem. So, oh, my gosh. Whoa. And it was a matter of time before we came to this point. I guess now we can hope for a speedy end. I'm being ironic. Just like Trump promised to bring a quick end to the war in Ukraine with his buddies there, Zelensky, Netanyahu, and the Likudniks, and the Zyogans here in the U.S., I mean, we should listen to Jeffrey Sachs. I know he's a mainstream liberal economist. Or people like John Mearsheimer and Stephen Walton Mear, they were telling us years ago. Or Norman Finkelstein. He was telling us years ago that Israel is not our ally. But we the people, are cut off from decision-making. We have a ritualistic, ceremonial, political system, which is the laughingstock of the world, It doesn't even function. It's not meant to work. We've been disenfranchised, and we have these yellow and brown women saying, oh, we're going to get to the bottom of this by finding out where the bodies are buried on Zorro Ranch. And in the meantime, we have the story of Elisa Liu dancing to the tune MacArthur Park. Remember Richard Harris? This might be before your time, Mr. Atwood.
What year?
This would be when you were about maybe 5 years old. This is more your parents' generation. Richard Harris? He was an Irish actor and singer. Well, he's actually an actor, but he wanted to be a singer. So he recorded this song by Jimmy Webb, who's one of the best songwriters of all time. Wichita Lyman, by the time I got to Phoenix, he's very much associated with Glenn Kim. I'm talking about Jimmy Webb. He wrote this awful song called MacArthur Park. Find the version. Don't play it now because you'll be demonetized for a copyright violation. But on your own time, ladies and gentlemen, go on TubeU and listen to the real cheesy extended version of MacArthur Park by Richard Harris. I think he starred in Camelot. This is back in the 60s. Okay. And he did this song, and it made the American Top 40. It's kind of a stream of consciousness, mind control. It's a total MK Ultra musical program, MacArthur Park. And then the disco queen, this is a name you might remember because it's getting into your later childhood, by the name of Donna Summer. She did a song called Love to Love You, Baby, where it sounds like she's having an orgasm on record. It's produced by this mind-controlled audio alchemist by the name of Giorgio Moroder. Check into him. I'm trying to suggest names and themes that other researchers can start to investigate to build out the story instead of just repeating the same old stories about the Rothschilds and about Eyes Wide Shut, you know, blah. It just goes into an endless circuit. Check into Giorgio Moroder. He did Love to Love You, Baby, but he also produced his version of MacArthur Park. And it was MacArthur Park that Elisa Liu used in order to win her gold medal at the Cortina Olympics in Italy recently. There's your Eyes Wide Shut. Ad nauseum. I'd rather you, not you, Mr. Atwood, but the audience start looking into Elisa Liu. Can we see that tape? It says 01 Caucasian eggs. This is Elisa Liu, the germline engineering that we started talking about.
Yep, I'll hit it. Here we go. Whoops.
Arthur Liu chose Caucasian egg donors. He has acknowledged that publicly. The intention was for his children to be biracial, Chinese and white, growing up in America. That decision is rarely unpacked carefully. It wasn't random. It wasn't accidental. It suggests planning, identity consideration, strategy even. The timing matters too. Early 2000s America, post 9/11, immigration debates intensifying, assimilation conversations loud. Arthur wasn't just creating children biologically. He was constructing a future. There's something almost architectural about it, and architecture reveals worldview. He survived political upheaval, rebuilt in another country, became an immigration attorney, then designed his family intentionally. That's not chaotic parenting, that's deliberate. Now here's where it gets quiet.
All right, that's just a brief introduction to Arthur Liu and his child. Now that introduction didn't mention the fact that Arthur Liu, who, by the way, he's being portrayed as a political dissident. He's against the Chadcoms, as Alex Jones liked to talk, the Chinese communists. So we got to embrace them. See, it's such a simplistic fairy tale. So that we, the United States, brought him into this country as a poor, penniless immigrant, and he fathered, as a Chinaman, four chillens with four different Caucasian women, eggs. He didn't want to breed with no black women's. He didn't want to breed with no yellow women's. They had to be Caucasian women's. To me, that already sounds like a germline editing experiment. And in America, it's very expensive to raise chillens. It can cost you hundreds of thousands of dollars over life. He had four of them. And he had no job. Eventually, he became an immigration attorney. How appropriate. How the hell did he get that? He couldn't even speak English. How do you pass the bar? How do you even get he was inserted? He might even be a CCP intelligence operation. Just like Epstein is an intelligence operation for Israel and whoever would hire him. So when we look at Epstein, let's not lose sight of a larger system that's in play here. And it was snuck into us under the heartwarming story of an immigrant saga and an achieving yellow woman, Elisa Liu. And then there's Chloe Kim. She's Korean from L.A. We're reading these articles about how she was 13. She would get like 30 messages a day, 30 anti-Asian, anti-racist messages a day. Go back to China. Stop doing that snowboarding. You're taking the place of white girls. These stories are all being promoted. That's Chloe Kim. And then there's Eileen Gu, who came to the U.S. with her immigrant parents, probably also part of a genetic breeding experiment. They're all, Kim is not a hybrid, but the other ones are hybrids, racial hybrids. And not coincidentally, Eileen Gu went to Stanford and studied. Stanford is the home of uniform intelligence testing, right? When you go to school from the beginning, you can wield a number two pencil. You're tested every single month, it seems. And athletically, they want to see how high you can jump, skip. This is the state. This is not Chinese communist government. This is the United States of America. We are being tested relentlessly. It all came out of Stanford. There's something called the Stanford-Binet intelligence test. It's a uniform test. Came from these father and son social scientists named Terman, T-E-R-M-A-N, and they were doing this in the 30s, studying children longitudinally and measuring their intelligence, their physical ability. And back in the 30s, the Asian kids, the Chinese kids, were rated at the very lowest level of intelligence and physical ability because that was the political climate of the day, anti-Chinese. And now they're at the top. So now this is where the germline editing protocol comes in. Well, we want to breed with them. We got to bring them into our genetic heritage. So the Olympics is a laboratory or proof of concept of decades worth of eugenics science. Now, when you watch all these pop-up pundits and the stand-up comedians and Joe Rogan and all the bro shows, you think all that stuff ended when Paperclip aged out. Mm-hmm. You think it was just a Nazi program and that was in the past. No, it's very much with us. Just because Amy Jacobson wrote some bunch of books, it wasn't really her, it's a whole team of people, saying, oh, yeah, that was then, this is now. We know better. Don't let your guard down. It's more intense than ever. Olympics, Cortina, who were the main winners? They were all yellow women.
You got a question from Kareem.
Yes.
What evidence does the professor have for this?
Oh, nothing. I'm just blowing smoke out of my ass. Yeah. I used to have a bunch of smart-ass students at the University of California, Davis, look at me skeptical, and some of them would even have the balls to ask me that. So I just say, fuck you. then I have to get a visit from the dean. Says, I understand you cussed out a student. I said, yeah. I said, I'm a motherfucking professor. Okay. You know, the root word to that is profess. I speak the truth. I lay it out. You know? So I don't really address ass clowns like that. Go watch Jimmy Dore. Go watch Joe Rogan. Watch This Is Entertainment, because you're not ready. All right. You're just not ready to be there. You're holding us back. So go on. Go ahead. I'm sorry to insult your guests, but you know, bombs are dropping. Bombs are dropping in Iran, and I can't really hold back anymore.
Deborah wants to know, have you heard of the Texas A&M invasion of the body snatchers replace of the whole town?
I have not, but thank you very much for that tip, Deborah Irvin. Is that real? It's plausible, right? That movie was prescient, starring Kevin McCarthy, directed by Don Siegel, and the original Invasions of the Body Snatchers. Yeah,
got a lot of people in the chat asking what happened to Lauren Moray. Was that the woman that
I don't care? I'm not my brother's keeper or my sister's keeper. Stop asking me that bullshit question. Not you. I mean, these people. Go find her on yourself. I don't really have time for that.
Max wants to know, was Epstein's mission to compromise the scientific elite the first step towards a forced transhumanist agenda? Thank you so much. That's a better question.
Yeah, no. The agenda was already in place. Epstein is just a more recent manifestation of a decades-long program, probably a program that's centuries long. Let's see here. I have a film that was released in Weimar, Germany, I think in 1936 or something. This is right before Hitler is coming in, right? Or he was already gaining power. It's called The Golem or Der Golem. And this comes from Jewish folklore. When the Jews of Prague, Czechoslovakia, were struggling under the yoke of the Prince of the Day, Rabbi Loh helped to construct, through incantations and Kabbalah, he infused a clay creature. He infused life into it, and it's called the Golem. This is 400 years ago. And so the golem was constructed to protect the Jewish community who were suffering from the prince, right, under their royal oppression. And the golem was intended to protect the villagers. But what happened? The golem wound up oppressing the very people. And here's the good news. The only way the golem was brought down, this clay creature, I recommend that everybody obtain this. It's by Kino, I think. You can find it on your online. It's been restored, new music soundtrack. Got to watch it for yourself. I'm not doing it justice. The only way that the community of Prague, the ghetto, were saved is that a little innocent child went up to the golem, and he picked her up, and she curiously pulled this medallion from his chest. It says Aleph, like in the Hebrew A in the Hebrew alphabet, and the golem keeled over, it died. The life went out of it. This is one of the reasons why the children are being targeted, because it's their purity, their innocence, and their goodness, and their closeness to God that can stop the golem. So let's look at our own heritage, and this is very much part of my heritage, and learn from these deep insights that the wise people of generations ago were telling us, right? And we wound up with Aaron Spelling in 1990 with Beverly Hills 90210. Come on. We are failing God. We are failing our mission as human beings. There's also a novel that's finally been translated into English. It's called Golem by Mannick. He's German. The Weimar Germans really understood what was coming down the pike so far as the New World Order was concerned, because to a large extent, they were the architects of it. The physicists, the biologists, the mind control people, the chemists. This is the genius of Weimar Germany. It's a dualistic genius, though. It could be used for good. It could be used for evil. And to answer your earlier question, how are we going to get out of this? Well, everything in nature and in humanity in the universe comes to us in dualistic fashion. Why don't we start encouraging goodness amongst these perpetrators or would-be perpetrators, starting at school, starting at K through 12, and teach them the values, the morals, the ethics, so they don't grow up to be surgeons like Professor Jess Ting, Dr. Jess Ting, so they don't grow up to be these creatures who mutilate genitally perfectly healthy human beings. He's the guy I mentioned previously, Jess Ting, medical doctor. He was a musical prodigy. He was good enough to gain entry as a music major into Juilliard School of Music. His instrument was the contrabass, the double bass, but he moved into surgery. Now he's one of the most sought gender reassignment so-called surgeons in the country. And he's based in New York City, Mount Sinai Hospital. We have to train kids at a very early age that God's creation is already perfect. We do not need so-called gender reassignment surgery. We do not need to get harvest eggs from different peoples just so that we can perfect ice skating performance.
Professor,
Yeah, go ahead.
I know you said you've only got an hour today. We're almost at the hour. Have you got time to answer a couple more questions?
Sure, I'll take some Q&A.
All right, so is the trafficking at the U.S. military bases a hybrid plan?
So far as hybrid breeding, I believe so, yeah. The U.S. military is very much involved with the occupation of Asian countries in particular. That's part of the hybrid market, right? They have military bases all over Japan. I know, I lived next to one in Okinawa for a solid year. I was able to observe that. And they also have lots of military bases in South Korea. They also have here in the homeland. And they usually have a community bringing the base of Filipinas who were brought in from all the military bases overseas. And they marry them and they breed with them and they abandon them here in the U.S. Or they turn them out. Like the ones in Korea, they turn them out to Oriental massage parlors in all these military towns, right? That's why you have a whole ring of massage parlors. Those are the women that were part of this military capture.
Professor, yes. What do you know about the current New Mexico governess, Michelle Grisham, Crypto 2?
Yeah. Look at her name, Lujan Grisham. She's a Waitino. Yeah, don't fall for the whole racial, ethnic, religio cover, all right? That's over.
Have you looked into Rikers being an Epstein training ground? I have some info that patterns a pattern in the Bay Area with construction and executive assistants.
I don't know what Rikers is. I know about Rikers Island, but that's not what the Bay Area.
Yeah. Yeah. Solvent Green about greenwashing?
Soylent Green, the movie with Charlton Heston?
Yep.
I don't know. I think greenwashing and biowashing and money laundering are all wrapped up together. They're part of the package. It's a cheesy movie, but yeah, it makes its point. Why
Woody Allen not being deposed?
Well, I doubt if he's going to ever make another movie, and he'll be croaking pretty soon. And we should create a welcoming environment for Suni Previn to come forth and tell her story. I think she's scared to really let loose. But once the old man's dead, we're going to hear more.
Which celebrities are cloned?
You name them. Have you seen, what's her name? Demi Moore lately?
Oh, God.
Huh? Yeah.
What's going on now with UC Davis?
What's going on? Probably cloning, and they're doing a lot of CERN-type research. Bio-research, the so-called flavor saver tomato came out of UC Davis School of Agriculture. You remember the square tomato?
Yep.
That does not degenerate. It doesn't mold. It lasts forever on the shelves. That's a product of UC Davis School of Ag. And that's another suggestion for all you researchers out there. Don't look at the glamour schools. Look at the ag schools, agricultural schools. That's where all the bioengineering's going on.
Right, Professor, you've answered all the questions. We're at the hour now. Is there anything you'd like to say in conclusion?
Yes, I have a show tomorrow at 4 o'clock, my usual show. And then I'll be able to get more in depth into Donna Summer. I feel love. Love to love you, baby.
Love, love, love.
And MacArthur love Park.
Love to love you, baby.
You know the song?
Yeah, I remember them now.
Okay.
Bronski Beat did some remixes of them, I think.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, you were part of the club scene, so you remember the ecstasy and the loud music and the insistent disco beat. That's all part of the hypno programming. Well, this is what Elisa Liu was dancing to. It was a hypno program exercise as well. MacArthur Park. Yeah.
I've put the professor's YouTube channel in the live chat. It is also in the description box if you're watching on replay. What time is your show tomorrow, Professor?
It's 4 o'clock, 4 p.m. And I'll leave you with this one reference as a book, because you got to start using reading material. UFOs and the New World Order, Age of Aquarius. It's kind of a cheesy title, but it's a really good book because it brings together the UFO phenomena, the underground cities, the tunneling with the genetic experiments, with the whole Epstein milieu, right? It's all part of a piece. So do all this type of related allied reading, and you're really going to have a grip on understanding this system. And that's the first step in throwing it over and reimposing humanity.
Always a great pleasure, my friend. Thank you for coming on. And viewers, please tune into his show tomorrow. 4 o'clock, your time is seven
PDT.
Or eight? Is it eight?
Can't remember 11, what it is.
11 p.m. here. All right, I will let you go. Thank you, my friend. Take care. Cheers. All right, folks, please subscribe to the professor's channel. There's the link again. And I will be back tomorrow at 3 p.m. UK with Andrew Loney, talking about the latest with ex-Prince Andrew, whether Fergie might get indicted, Mandelson, etc. And we've got another show coming up in 55 minutes. The title of which is, let me find out, The Occult and the Epstein Files, Hollywood, The Black Sun, and The Destruction of Innocence. I love that title. All right. Hope to see some of you in the next chat.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/Ohio's time.
Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.